T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Annie's, like 17 years ago, 18 years ago, will they honor it is really all I care about. So
sure, the food will be.
I want to go.
The food will be as old as the gift certificate.
It's been in the window for 17 years.
It's like at the food court with the saran wrap.
It's fine. We knew what you wanted.
Yeah. Did you know that one of the great lies in retail is the gift certificate? Because people get them.
They don't use them ever.
They never use them. So we have an envelope full of them, and we'll go through. And I found this thing from way back when. I think we may go to Minneapolis just to try to use it. Well, that's how it's staged.
Just say that you were in like a medically induced coma you're recovering from encephalitis or something.
I don't think you're going to have to go that far.
Well, just get some phony documentation that says that you were in a coma.
Just write that on the back of some other gift receipt.
Or you were held captive.
We were talking about this last week when we introduced the new lineup with Jimmy DeCastro and Greg Salk. We were talking about the old days Copic. You would give out Bigsby Crothers gift certificates to the clothing store, right?
Right.
And they're like $50 gift certificates. You couldn't buy one sock for $50. You'd walk in there.
But they had a restaurant in the basement of the store.
Eventually, they opened that up, and that was worthwhile.
There was a restaurant in the basement
of the store. Yeah, a sports
bar. The one on Clark, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Clark and Lincoln there.
But when you went in there with these clothing store gift certificates, I'm like, I don't need a $300 tie. I'm a sports writer. You know, I mean, it's like...
Right. I need underpants that fit, and they don't have stains in them.
All the sports writers would have the same tie on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everyone, same sport coat.
Everyone got a freebie. Yeah,
the uniform tie.
The cheapest tie, like the one clearance tie they had.
There was some place, like some like warehouse joint out by the airport. I remember driving up there, and somebody was coming out as I was going in. You know, we all had the same gift certificate.
But I get here, and all you were talking about are like steakhouses and...
Yeah.
Food and places to go.
We had so many people checking in with ideas, too. It just got a little crazy.
Yeah, it was like a Paul Allen travel log.
I mean, I would go to New Orleans to eat. I mean, that's part of the trip, right?
It is
I don't
the
know
trip.
That I think of mini St. Paul as the place to go to eat.
Some
but apparently
good
it is.
Places. Brother lives up there in the Twin
Cities. Oh, does
cities.
He really?
And yeah, he's got there's a list of pretty decent places to go eat. A lot of breakfast places that are really good.
Yeah,
ballpark food is supposed to be really good there.
It is good, and they have the Minnesota Twins have the best beer selection that I've ever seen in a ballpark. It is terrific.
Could your brother like put up a family of five if they showed up unexpectedly?
Actually, they probably could. Yeah, they're both teachers. You wouldn't even see him.
I was thinking about you because Friday night we leave for Italy for a family trip for a week.
I didn't know that. Fantastic.
And our first trip, first night in Rome, we've decided we have to go to Trastevere.
Oh, I love Trastevere. Oh,
it's like Epcot Center. Can't believe that it's so Roman Italian. It looks
but
fake.
It is like when I was living in Rome, when I back in the 100 years ago when I went to school in Rome, Trastevere was very edgy, and it was a little bit dodgy, and now it is so trendy. It's like going to, you know, Wicker Park or something.
It's like Bucktown.
Yeah, and then, so this time around, we went to, what's the other neighborhood across the river, the other side of it? That was fantastic. The one next to the Jewish ghetto area, it's unbelievable. We went to, like, a couple of places there. Are you doing, like, any big tour? Are you just going to Rome?
No, we're going to Rome, then we're taking a train to Florence, we're going to do 3 and 3 with the kids. We got apartments in both cities.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, yeah, right?
That's good.
And then we'll take the subway everywhere. But I know that you lived in Trastevere or nearby.
Yeah. Well,
it's probably too far, but if you ever get north, go to Como.
Lake Como. I don't think that, not this trip. It'll give us a reason to come back.
Yeah.
Well, named after, right? And that was your Loyola, you were a Loyola student at the time, right?
It's actually pretty far away from Trastevere. It's Montemario. So it's a hill where there's a statue of Mary. So and it overlooks the soccer stadium. And what's funny is on my honeymoon, I went with my wife back to Italy. And one of the tours we took was to the Vatican, only we're going by the football stadium, and I'm like, okay, we are like, basically, they took us for a long drive to justify the price of the tour. We're not going anywhere. The Vatican we could have walked to. Like, why the hell are we over here? And I was just kind of like, like, what a ripoff this is. But we went to the Vatican this summer. The Vatican museums are unbelievable. The crowd of people was such a disaster. I mean, and you know, when I'm in a crowd, I don't really like being in a crowd. Part of it is because people tend to like lean on me like I'm a wall. Like they get mistaken.
It's also Europe, so the definition of personal space is not the American distances. No, everybody's used to being packed
tough to
in.
Handle and for
it's,
me.
So we're in the Vatican Museum. We're going through this crowd of like unbelievable people, and there's a hand in my pants, right? Someone's taking my wallet. My wallet, and I like reel around. My son is a gag. He knows how paranoid I am about. He picks my pocket.
Oh,
I'm like, you. I was like, I nearly choked him. I'm like,
because
like,
you probably gave your family the talk.
I gave the talk. I told them the whole thing. You know, whenever you're in a crowd, you know, you gotta make. Next thing
that's
you know,
great.
I'm
good
the guy
for him.
Son's pocketed. Sizing you up as a mark.
Oh, he
good
knows.
For him.
Were
hilarious.
You cursing in the Vatican Museum?
Oh, I was like my dad when we were kids. My father would be like, "You're in church, damn it!" We'd just fall apart. You know what are you supposed to say?
But the Vatican Museum isn't the church. It's just
it's
long and
it's
winding.
It's close enough.
It's
all right,
beautiful.
For some of us,
oh, it's absolutely beautiful.
Well, and there's always this shortcut. If you want to go right to the Sistine Chapel,
right.
You can.
Yes.
And there's always the signs that tell you if you can go in this room.
Right.
Or you can go directly here, where they have the professional shushing guy.
He does shush professionally. That's true.
There's a guy in the Sistine Chapel who is paid to shush you.
It's the member of the Swiss Guard who couldn't quite cut it with the halberd in.
Listen,
Larry, I don't know if you've got what it takes to be a real Swiss Guard.
We're putting you on a different track.
What's your shush like, Larry? How's that sound?
There was a guy who worked here for a while. He used to be pretty good at that, too. So.
Yeah. Put the hand up.
I remember that guy. We were there. I was in school, and we were there, and we had this priest leading us, and we ended up like meeting the Pope and everything. It was really pretty cool. But JP II, who was a good Pope, this guy's good too. Anyway,
should we start above replacement?
Pope,
right?
Yeah,
some
should we start
good,
a Pope draft?
So
yeah. Okay, you got JP II.
Urban II for me. It's got
so there's like 100 people, and apparently two of them got stopped coming in. And so, like, there's people, like, yelling up to – and then finally, like, I'm standing next to this guy with my buddy, Bob Napleton, and they, like, they yell. And I turn to him, and I'm like, hey, like, Karen and Joe got stopped up front, you know. And this guy like, looks at me, and he's like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to – I can't be in two places. I'm up here. He just panics, falls apart, and he's not going to do anything. And I, like, I nod at him, and Bob looks at me, and they're yelling, what'd he say? What'd he say? And I turn around, and I yell through this thing. He says you're on your own. And that was it. I think we just left him. He wasn't going to do a thing.
He was in jail for 25 years.
Oh, my God. All right. We'll let you guys. I'm sorry we took so much of your time, guys.
No. Take absolutely as much as you want. We're going to have Mike Florio on at 9:40. There's plenty of football stuff. Ian Eagle is going to join us at 10. We'll do our midway at 11. Len Casper makes his first of his regular Wednesday appearances at 12 today. So. There's a whole lot to do, and we are going to have some fun with the newest ESPN NFL analyst.
Oh, boy. It's all fluid. Just,
pearls of wisdom.
I mean, you know, if he's the mayor of the NFL, can he say anything bad about anyone?
Guess what?
One of the problems.
It hasn't stopped analysts
before.
He's going
to be good.
Yeah?
He's going to be good.
I got to tell you.
It's going to surprise everybody.
I hope you're right.
It's going to surprise everybody, and he's going to be good. It might take a little bit of time. But the guy that you hear other NFL people talk about,
yes, will show up.
He's in there like that.
Yes,
that,
he is.
That dude, I've seen it.
Yeah, you know Mitchell. I've seen it too. I've seen him in action. Believe me.
Yeah,
like you wouldn't believe. Yeah.
Oh, but telling stories.
Oh yeah,
and,
he's very funny.
Yeah.
It's going to be like the Mitch Trubisky dinner where like you can't interview the guy because John's giving the one liners out. All
look
right,
at the
guys,
wine
we'll
list.
Let you get to work.
All right, boys, thanks.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mike Florio at 9:40, Ian Eagle at 10. He's got the TBS calls Friday of Villanova, West Virginia, and Purdue and Texas Tech. We'll do the midway at 11, Len Casper at 12, and we have giveaways. What would a show be without chances for you to win things? Two chances at $1,000 cash. You have to listen for the text keywords for your opportunity to win, and we're qualifying another Cubs season ticket finalist today. So when you hear Pat and Ron's cue to call, Just be the sixth caller. Not right now. It always happens. I say this and then the phones go crazy. This is not the cue to call. It is Pat and Ron's cue to call. When you hear that, be caller 6 to 312-591-6700, and you'll qualify. It's brought to you by Old Dominion Freight Line, the official freight carrier of MLB and the Cubs, and by Dykstra Home Services, piecing together your home comfort. This is the Bernstein and McKnight Show. We are on middays on Sports Radio 670. WSCR, the score. 312-644-6767. That is the number at the score. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. We're also textable. You should do that as well by texting 67011. I know that is the preferred form of communication for many people during these minutes. I'm getting used to it. I'm getting used to the fact that
Texts are more,
right, because
more accessible.
Last time I was in middays, we didn't have texting. And generally times when people are more in their cars is when you get more phone-driven stuff. But it seems to be text and Twitter really seem to be the way people like to communicate. And that is very cool. So when you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Also, there is Facebook. If that is your preferred opportunity to communicate, you can just like the 670 The Score page on Facebook, and that will put you right in the conversation. We're visible. Hi. You can see us, too, via Facebook Live there, or watch 670thescore.com. That's directed by Brian Gertsch, and we have producers, and I'm not used to there being three, and I've given Ray Diaz short shrift. And I apologize.
What do you do with it?
He needs more shrift.
More shrift?
He has not gotten enough.
You don't
shrift.
Want to overshrift a guy, though.
Well, that could be dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, you get blood poisoning.
Well, he does with that kind of shrift.
But our producers are Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the aforementioned Ray Diaz. It's just because I'm not used to having the third producer, despite the number of years we asked for one.
Speaking of the text line, and I know we're getting into John Fox. We went long with transition and Mully and Hanley because we were talking about some pretty funny stuff. But the 708 has asked you, Dan, and I think this is something that you and I should have talked about perhaps in our first show.
Yeah.
Is sexting, are we still hitting that? Are we still allowing that on the text messages? I know that's been a big staple of your presence here on the air.
I take whatever I can get. Okay. You want to send me a wayward sext?
I'm ready. Well, I don't want to, but someone with more shrift might.
Yeah. Well, then,
if someone was overshrifted.
Yeah, then you get dehydrated, and then you're Danny Parkins, and you need an IV, and you never. But yes, so sure. If you want to send a sext, I'm open to that. We've got some Mitch Trubisky tape we're going to get to. Also, we've got a lot of things. There's some oddness going on in the NBA, but top of mind for me is John Fox, national broadcaster.
ESPN has signed the 63-year-old former Bears, Broncos, and Panthers head coach to be their newest studio analyst. They still don't have an analyst for the Monday Night Football broadcast. Still waiting on that, I think.
Well, that's not going to be Foxy. I think they're going to start him out in the studio, right?
Instead, it is going to be Mr. Gruff, the short-handed and short-shrifted man with the media here in Chicago the last few years.
You're going to be surprised. You're going to be surprised.
What makes you say that? Because I'm wondering this. The man was that guy when he was comfortable and in charge of media and press conferences, when he was the center of attention, when the spotlight was on him. He chose to be that guy.
Because of what was at stake. And I get back to being in the trailer in Bourbonnais a couple of summers ago when Olin Krutz and I hosted a show together on these airwaves. And John sat with us. And I think we've got the sound at some point we're going to grab for where I actually asked him, why are you this guy?
What are you? Why are you the things you choose to be?
What's going on in these press conferences? Well, what are we doing here? Like, what's the point of all this stuff?
Yeah.
And I think for me, in front of the media, and I use the reference a lot to being at the plate. When you're at the plate, you can get beaned, all right? So you better be cautious. And really, if you really want to stay safe, just stay in the dugout.
Right.
So I think in my own roundabout way, kind of my media face, that's how I would answer that. So you just try to not let your guard down. I think whatever you say there can go viral. And it's not my nature, so I have to put that face on.
And off the air, he mentioned Bill Belichick.
Okay.
And he said, I don't agree that this is a causal relationship, but there are some who believe that part of what makes Belichick a good football coach is his lack of desire or his ability to never say anything, to keep every proprietary secret, that the secrecy is part of it, where I'm on the other side of it. I get back to the old stories about Amos Alonzo Stagg, who would send his upcoming opponent a copy of his playbook and say, here's what we're running, try to stop
it. Right. It's like when a catcher tells you this one's coming right down the middle, it's a heater, do your best.
Right. But apparently there are many coaches, and Fox is not alone, there are many coaches who believe that it's not just Belichick being weird and happens to be a really successful coach, that they believe that apparently part of the success is due to him being weird. And I'm not there with that. He is. But then the light goes off and Fox is telling stories and talking about stuff and laughing.
If he's worried about stuff he says going viral, though, he's going to be, I assume he's going to be aware of how technology works and the fact that if he's on a national broadcast, stuff will indeed go viral or, just be broadcast everywhere. That's not going to. I understand that the job description is different. He doesn't have to protect anybody other than himself.
It's like holding Jell-O. It's a tough job.
I've always found that to be a very difficult job.
John Fox always coached with an undercurrent of fear in everything that he did. Fear always informed John Fox, the coach.
Do you mean that because of his conservative style, or is it more of his job, relative job security throughout his steps?
No, I just think it was coaching paranoia. I think his fear,
a lot of coaches have that.
There's a couple of levels of fear that I think could now be completely erased from his personality as a broadcaster, is that he was always afraid of giving away something. Everything represented a potential advantage that could be lost if he talked about it. And then in games, if you look at his in-game decisions, everything was based on what could go wrong.
Yeah.
Not the way Matt Nagy looks at it. Which is, this could go right, this could go right, this could go right, where Fox is always, let's eliminate the possibility of this. And that's why they played and lost a lot of close games. I'm dead serious.
No, I get it.
So my gut feeling is, as a broadcaster, if you take away that crushing existential fear of everything, he might be really good. He's had a long career around a lot of notable names with a lot of stories.
So, I've got advice for John Fox, though.
All right.
I've got advice for John Fox about his media gig. There are some things he's got to know about that transition that he has to change then if he's going to be successful.
All right, we'll get to that. This segment brought to you by your neighborhood Ace. Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks. With Ace's Extra Mile Promise, get everything you need to paint in one trip or deliveries free. Visit acehardware.com for details. Connor McKnight has advice for John Fox next on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That is new ESPN analyst John Fox talking about his, what I assume was a vervet in the family, a vervet minke.
No, it was a capuchin, I believe.
Oh, was it a capuchin?
It was a capuchin. No, not a... I don't think it was our buddy the vervet.
The vervet? No, the vervet stays
Mikey,
here on
right?
the show.
Mikey?
Yes, Mikey the vervet monkey who hung out by the Diamonds Club in North Miami
so
Beach.
Well. Yeah.
No, it did not.
We
Connor
don't know
McKnight.
That it was Mikey, though. All we know was there was a contemporaneously
reportedly,
seen vervet that may or may not
may
be
been
Mikey.
There may have been other vervet monkeys.
There could be two minkies.
He's Dan Bernstein. I'm Connor McKnight. This is the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Mike Florio coming up at 9:40. And I think probably my favorite part of that entire story and a piece of advice, if I can, give John Fox as he embarks on this new venture. My favorite part of that entire story is when he just dismisses the weirdness of everything by just saying, "Well, we were down in Florida for Christmas," as though that's somehow. I get it, John. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
You get a monkey. It's Christmas. It's a tradition in Florida.
Who among us hasn't picked up a monkey in Florida for Christmas?
Those days, that was all legal, above board.
It's all above board.
They're selling tomatoes things now.
No.
Sure, they are.
They're very much not. All right, don't spend all the stories on your first day on the job. Don't do that. You're going to spend all the capital early. You are going to have to, John Fox, at some point say something critical of players that you've coached and or scouted against and or tried to recruit for your own team.
Mike Florio at 9:40. Ian Eagle at 10. He's got the TBS calls Friday of Villanova, West Virginia, and Purdue and Texas Tech. We'll do the midway at 11. Len Casper at 12. And we have giveaways. What would a show be without chances for you to win things? two chances at $1,000 cash. You have to listen for the text keywords for your opportunity to win, and we're qualifying another Cubs season ticket finalist today. So when you hear Pat and Ron's cue to call, just be the sixth caller. Not right now. It always happens. I say this, and then the phones go crazy. This is not the cue to call. It is Pat and Ron's cue to call. When you hear that, be caller 6 to 312-591-6700, and you'll qualify. It's brought to you by Old Dominion Freight Line, the official freight carrier of MLB and the Cubs, and by Dykstra Home Services, piecing together your home comfort. This is the Bernstein and McKnight Show. We are on middays on Sports Radio 670. WSCR, the score. 312-644-6767. That is the number at the score. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. We're also textable. You should do that as well by texting 67011. I know that is the preferred form of communication for many people during these minutes. I'm getting used to it. I'm getting used to the fact that
Texts are more,
right, because
more
accessible. Last time I was in middays, we didn't have texting. And generally times when people are more in their cars is when you get more phone-driven stuff. But it seems to be text and Twitter really seem to be the way people like to communicate. And that is very cool. So when you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Also, there is Facebook. If that is your preferred opportunity to communicate, you can just like the 670 The Score page on Facebook, and that will put you right in the conversation. We're visible. Hi. You can see us, too, via Facebook Live there, or watch 670thescore.com. That's directed by Brian Gertsch, and we have producers, and I'm not used to there being three, and I've given Ray Diaz short shrift. And I apologize.
What do you do with it?
He needs more shrift.
More shrift?
He has not gotten enough.
You don't want
shrift.
To overshrift a guy, though.
Well, that could be dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, you get blood poisoning.
Well, he does with that kind of shrift.
But our producers are Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the aforementioned Ray Diaz. It's just because I'm not used to having the third producer, despite the number of years we asked for one.
Speaking of the text line, and I know we're going to get into John Fox. We went long with transition and Mully and Hanley because we were talking about some pretty funny stuff. But the 708 has asked you, Dan, and I think this is something that you and I should have talked about perhaps in our first show.
Yeah.
Is sexting, are we still hitting that? Are we still allowing that on the text messages? I know that's been a big staple of your presence here on the air.
I take whatever I can get. Okay. You want to send me a wayward sext?
I'm ready. Well, I don't want to, but someone with more shrift might.
Yeah. Well, then,
if someone was overshrifted.
Yeah, then you get dehydrated, and then you're Danny Parkins, and you need an IV, and you never. But yes, so sure. If you want to send a sext, I'm open to that. We've got some Mitch Trubisky tape we're going to get to. Also, we've got a lot of things. There's some oddness going on in the NBA, but top of mind for me is John Fox, national broadcaster.
ESPN has signed the 63-year-old former Bears, Broncos, and Panthers head coach to be their newest studio analyst. They still don't have an analyst for the Monday Night Football broadcast. Still waiting on that, I think.
Well, that's not going to be Foxy. I think they're going to start him out in the studio, right?
Instead, it is going to be Mr. Gruff, the short-handed and short-shrifted man with the media here in Chicago the last few years.
You're going to be surprised. You're going to be surprised.
What makes you say that? Because I'm wondering this. The man was that guy when he was comfortable and in charge of media and press conferences, when he was the center of attention, when the spotlight was on him. He chose to be that guy.
Because of what was at stake. And I get back to being in the trailer in Bourbonnais a couple of summers ago when Olin Krutz and I hosted a show together on these airwaves. And John sat with us. And I think we've got the sound at some point we're going to grab for where I actually asked him, why are you this guy?
What are you? Why are you the things you choose to be?
What's going on in these press conferences? Well, what are we doing here? Like, what's the point of all this stuff?
Yeah.
And I think for me, in front of the media, and I use the reference a lot to being at the plate. When you're at the plate, you can get beaned, all right? So you better be cautious. And really, if you really want to stay safe, just stay in the dugout.
Right.
I think in my own roundabout way, kind of my media face, that's how I would answer that. So you just try to not let your guard down. I think whatever you say there can go viral. And it's not my nature, so I have to put that face on.
And off the air, he mentioned Bill Belichick.
Okay.
And he said, look, I don't agree that this is a causal relationship, but there are some who believe that part of what makes Belichick a good football coach is his lack of desire or his ability to never say anything, to keep every proprietary secret, that the secrecy is part of it, where I'm on the other side of it. I get back to the old stories about Amos Alonzo Stagg, who would send his upcoming opponent a copy of his playbook and say, here's what we're running, try to stop
it. Right. It's like when a catcher tells you this one's coming right down the middle, it's a heater, do your best.
Right. But apparently there are many coaches, and Fox is not alone, there are many coaches who believe that it's not just Belichick being weird and happens to be a really successful coach, that they believe that apparently part of the success is due to him being weird. And I'm not there with that. He is. But then the light goes off and Fox is telling stories and talking about stuff and laughing.
If he's worried about stuff he says going viral, though, he's going to be, I assume he's going to be aware of how technology works and the fact that if he's on a national broadcast, stuff will indeed go viral or, just be broadcast everywhere. That's not going to. I understand that the job description is different. He doesn't have to protect anybody other than himself.
It's like holding Jell-O. It's a tough job.
I've always found that to be a very difficult job.
John Fox always coached with an undercurrent of fear in everything that he did. Fear always informed John Fox, the coach.
Do you mean that because of his conservative style, or is it more of his job, relative job security throughout his steps?
No, I just think it was coaching paranoia. I think his fear.
A lot of coaches have that.
There's a couple of levels of fear that I think could now be completely erased from his personality as a broadcaster. Is that he was always afraid of giving away something. Everything represented a potential advantage that could be lost if he talked about it. And then in games, if you look at his in-game decisions, everything was based on what could go wrong.
Yeah.
Not the way Matt Nagy looks at it. Which is, this could go right, this could go right, this could go right, where Fox is always, let's eliminate the possibility of this. And that's why they played and lost a lot of close games. I'm dead serious.
No, I get it.
So my gut feeling is, as a broadcaster, if you take away that crushing existential fear of everything, he might be really good. He's had a long career around a lot of notable names with a lot of stories.
So, I've got advice for John Fox, though.
All right.
I've got advice for John Fox about his media gig. There are some things he's got to know about that transition that he has to change then if he's going to be successful.
All right, we'll get to that. This segment brought to you by your neighborhood Ace. Ace is the place for the helpful hardware folks. With Ace's Extra Mile Promise, get everything you need to paint in one trip or deliveries free. Visit acehardware.com for details. Connor McKnight has advice for John Fox next on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That is new ESPN analyst John Fox talking about his, what I assume was a vervet in the family, a vervet minke.
No, it was a capuchin, I believe.
Oh, was it a capuchin?
It was a capuchin. No, not a. I don't think it was our buddy the vervet.
The vervet? No, the vervet stays
Mikey,
here on
right?
the show.
Mikey.
Yes, Mikey the vervet monkey who hung out by the Diamonds Club in North Miami Beach.
Well. Yeah.
No, it did not. I'm
we
Connor
don't know
McKnight.
That it was Mikey, though. All we know was there was a contemporaneously seen vervet that may not have been
Mikey. Other vervet monkeys.
There could be two minkies.
He's Dan Bernstein. I'm Connor McKnight. This is the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Mike Florio coming up at 9:40. And I think probably my favorite part of that entire story and a piece of advice, if I can, give John Fox as he embarks on this new venture. My favorite part of that entire story is when he just dismisses the weirdness of everything by just saying, "Well, we were down in Florida for Christmas," as though that's somehow. I get it, John. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
You get a monkey. It's Christmas. It's a tradition in Florida.
Who among us hasn't picked up a monkey in Florida for Christmas?
Those days, that was all legal. It was above board. I don't think they're selling too many of those things now.
No.
Sure they are.
They're very much not. All right, don't spend all the stories on your first day on the job. Don't do that. You're going to spend all the capital early. You are going to have to, John Fox, at some point say something critical of players that you've coached and or scouted against and or tried to recruit for your own team.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.